So last week we kicked off this series on I titled it One Anothering. And we're looking at instances of the phrase one another in the New Testament. As we see this where the gospel writers in the New Testament have used the term one another. And we last week I wanted to kick it off with looking at family and how we handle in the church one another. And if we as Christians don't handle people within our own church or their own family, when I'm speaking family, I'm speaking, but in that regard, to minister to people when they have tough times in their life, and when I say fail, I'm talking about being critical or shying away or whatever like that, then how in the world can we minister to people that are unsaved and not in the church and have to get that right? I think it's critical to get that right. And that one anothering, and we talked about last week, that community in community is it shouldn't be a closed door community. You know, we can't turn around and say our love is only for people that have the Christian faith. If we do, then we're going against what God has commanded us to do, right? And where Jesus talks about not loving somebody, may not love the sin, but he also always loves the person, right? And I think that's evident, you know, when we look at when Christ died on the cross, he died for those of us who committed the sins, you know, in our lifetime, 2,000 years after he paid for our sins, right? So this week we're going to continue in this series, and I want to look at an interesting one, and we're going to look at some. I know this comes as a shock and goes through, and how we get some of these words in this one anothering that would mean so much to us. And when we're in this community development, all right? Attorney who gathered his family, gathered an entire family together for the reading of a will. Relatives came from near and far, and they were included, you know, in all of the bequests of the person who had passed away. So the lawyer opened up the will. He says, starts reading. He says, this is reading this guy's will. And he says, to leave my money market account. To my neighbor and good friend Fred, I leave all my stocks and bonds. And finally, to my cousin George, who always sat around and never did anything, but wanted to be remembered in my will, I leave my greetings. Hello, George. Like that, right? I mean, somebody who's going to be comical or somebody who does the nothing side of things, right? Anybody got somebody in their family that does nothing? Yeah. I think if everybody's honest, everybody's got. One guy wrote this about a church. He said, Rudy Carlson, our dear brother, passed away. And he said, he always had a saying. He says, family is one of God's masterpieces. And there's a lot to be said in that, right? In our lives, either for our good or for otherwise. There are no perfect people and there are no perfect families. Nevertheless, families can be very good and very much a blessing. He goes on, he says, I'm the second family of that size. There's always yours, mine, and ours kind of family. He says, needless to say, and the household was always interesting. It was never a dull moment. He said, we were a blended family. We shared deep and warm love for each other. He said, we experienced all kids go through, and there have been some difficult things along the way. He said, if you ever notice that within a family, it's okay to have fighting within the family or some complaining about the family or teasing, but it's not okay for someone outside the family to do that. And lay a hand on someone within the family or say something negative about someone in the family, and you got to fight on your hands. He said, why is it we often react so quickly and strongly to defend our family? He said, I hope that in the church, we can learn something about being devoted to one another and a brotherly love. So is this any people that may... Can you please read that Romans chapter 12, verse 10 in just a second? You know, as we look at the New Testament and we see these different translations, we get a lot of different ones out of it. And I've got, and I want to read from it before Reed reads that. So this is Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor giving preference to one another. You got yours, Reed? Did it read the same thing?
Read the same thing, except for it was said, honor preferring one another.
Does anybody have a
it says, yeah. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourself.
So the key word that I want to bring out, which I thought it was in the old King James, but it's in the NIV, is the word devoted. So if I ask you what example.
I just looked up the definition of it.
What you say? What does it say?
And the synonyms for devoted are dedicated, faithful, loyal, steady, true, true blue, constant. Those are the synonyms. If I wanted to make sure that I think I'm devoted, I want to make sure that I.
So a little litmus test for that. Remember, be your spouse, your brother, sister, child, grandchild, whatever it is. Would you say that you're 100% devoted to them?
Yeah.
You'd essentially do anything for them,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You would financially be of assistance if need be. physically be of assistance if need be.
Could devoted be to all that place, God number one?
It could be. That's not where I'm going, but hold okay. on to that, because we're going to come back to a little tall, blonde-haired lady. She's a comedian. She's a Christian.
Leanne Morgan. She's a man.
So she did one devoted. As I always search for devoted, she came up.
Probably a pop pitch.
And you know, she's got that real twangy voice. And she says, you know, she said, go. I did everything. Said, I'd go with him and sit there and watch him fish. She says, he would go to me with me and watch me shop. Said, we would go to each other's things, and I'll have a clue about what that devoted to him. She says, but today, I don't think he'd drag me out of a burning car. I thought that was a really good lead into it. I'm spouse, children, you don't have to give names. Where that devotion wanes down for different reasons, does that devotion wane down? Well, the answer is yeah. if I can say yes, it does. It does. So the reason I'm asking all these, use a lot of analogies when they talk about the church. And you know, y'all heard this, you know, the church is not the building, right? The church is the church. That terminology is talking about the people, not a building, right? It's talking about the people. So one of the analogies that the New Testament writers use for church is the word family. How many times have you used it? My church family, or my church family does this, or my worst time. Anybody ever use that? My church family helps me through troubled times in my life, right? So now then, when you look at that and you look at that devotion, that's what I want to focus on today, is where is our devotion when we look at our church family? And how see if we're devoted or not? Now, before you answer yes, you're devoted, let's go through a little bit of this, all right? Because have you ever heard the term talking about Sunday morning Christians? It's those people that do absolutely nothing from that point to the next time they come back on Sunday morning. Yeah, that's not devoted, is it? That's not devoted at all. And you know, one of the things that David Jeremiah talks about, he says, if you're ever concerned about how your faith is, or if your faith's growing, look at what you're doing. Because if you're not, then you're not growing your faith. It's a really good way to look at it. So let's hold on to that. Let's look at this right here, devoted, all right? As you know, the analogy I mentioned about family and the use of them, one writer wrote this. He said, we can easily and clearly understand, because the church body, it means that all of us are members of that body. He said that each member of the body is necessary and important to make the whole body work. If you were to take and look, not what's written down, but if you were to look at different portions of our church body, there's people that sing, right? I can't sing. You won't listen to me sing. But, I mean, and Gary and the whole group that's up there in front of us each week singing. That's an important part of that church body. Whatever you're looking at, fellowship meals, all of this is parts of this body of Christ, the church body. But you have to have all of this working. And if you're not devoted to that function that you have, it's going to be rapidly noticed, right? If you think Gary wasn't devoted to the scene, would it be any good? No. And I'm not saying with Gary. Yeah, you know, I'm talking here a while back about how good the choir and the praise team have been over the past months. And he says the word he used was they're devoted. They're devoted in what they do.
You know, I was just talking to people, and from my being here, this is the best music we've ever had. I'm not downplaying anybody
else. I totally agree with you, and it's a process too. I know Gary's went through a long process, and it's a singing, right? I you know, it's not a person that does it, but I think it's the devotion. All right, let's go on. All of us can appreciate the need for these body parts. The body part can't do its job. We know in a hurry, we're not appreciation of what functioning churches should be. What we just talked about. The family analogy adds an element of human emotion and devotion to our understanding of the church. This is what Paul wrote. Be devoted. So here's an interesting part. So what does everybody call the city of Philadelphia?
City of brotherly love.
Do you know why that is? You know what the Greek word for brotherly love is?
Philadelphia.
There you go. When we apply that to the church, it refers to the love Christians should have each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, the family in Christ. Paul wrote this out of Ephesians. For this family of believers in heaven and earth drives its name. The term brothers is used in the New Testament 230 times. One of the most used words that's used in the distinct term from brotherlies, action womb. I thought that was interesting. the word actually that we get brother from. So it refers to the fellow believers and members of God's family, the brothers and sisters of Christ, right? It means, and born again, now then you look at the term for brothers being from the same womb, now then you can relate all that to the family of Christ. We're all born again from the same womb, all right? We're related through common, you know, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ. The term brotherly love and that command to be devoted to one another in brotherly love is not only an aspect of the verse, but that the family has these connotations. And I want to make sure I don't mess this up. It comes from the Greek word philostorgos. And storgos means the children of the same parent. So as if you're devoted as brothers, you're devoted as children from the same parent. It's also that same word is translated multiple times in the Bible as tenderly loving or love tenderly. So now we see how this word devotion has a really big impact when we start looking at the family members and the family of God, right? So you see personally to one another with brotherly love. And one guy wrote this. He said, Paul's point is clear. Christians are to be just as devoted to each other individuals, members, as they are to their close-knit family. He goes on to write, what did they do when they were going to be great friends? Remember what they did? The blood brothers? The blood brothers? He goes on, he says, as blood brothers, they would do anything for each brothers and sisters as well. The Bible says, in him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin. Because we're God's family, we must be devoted to one another with brotherly love. But what does that truly mean to us? I mean, what does that mean from that? What does God honoring devote, and how can it be lived out? All right. So how do we be devoted to one another? What's some of the things we can do to be devoted to one another? So y'all remember the story of Ruth and Naomi in the Old Testament? Over to Moab. Once they get there, Naomi's husband dies almost immediately. And then they have the two daughter-in-laws, and then the sons die. And then so Naomi's going to go back. And then Ruth was adamant, I'm going to go back with you and support you. You know, even though I'm going to an area of the world where I don't fit in, I don't have any family there, I'm going to go as a devotion to you because of the love that you show me over the years. So apart, all right. So Ruth didn't have to make the decision for that. She went on her own. But let's look at that just a little bit deeper here in a minute. So if you remember the rest of the story, she married what? Right. But
very wealthy.
Yeah, very wealthy. But if you follow the descendants from it, guess who's descended from that?
Jesus,
King David. So the point the writer was making was here's somebody that years before essentially gave up their life to be devoted to somebody for what they did to them. And when they get, just a really neat story. It's a long story, but it's a really neat story. So we're going to look at three different things right here as we're looking on what we can do to be devoted, right? So the first one is decision. We have to decide to make that decision. The Bible says we must be imitators of God. Therefore, dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. We should want to make it our goal in brotherly love. Okay, that's easy to say, right? I'm in, right? It's a little tougher. Number two, devoted continues with determination. Once we made a decision, we have to stick to it and follow through with it. That's the hard part. I've read multiple times, David Jeremiah is one of the ones talks about this. If somebody talked to you about the troubles they're going through and you say, well, I'll pray for you and never do it. He said, that's the worst thing you can do. He said, don't ever do that. He said, if you're not going to do it, don't even say it. And you know, there's a lot of truth in that. And that's something, a lot of points.
Some people, they say that and then they forget about it later.
And
they have good intentions, but you're right. I mean, she needs to
pray for you. They do it immediately.
Wes Morris does that.
Okay.
Yeah. Wes Morris, to one guy, told me exactly right. Exactly right. If you're going to do it, if you just stop right there and do it right then.
And you don't have to be a long shot. Right? Just pray.
Yeah.
We're going to avoid laying in the middle of the way. You're like, wait a minute.
Faith takes
that. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah. You got to be committed to it.
And I think, too, sometimes say, you know, I'll do, and you don't, like, 2 days later, follow up with that person and say, I was just thinking about you. I just want to check, see how you're doing. Because I know I fail to do that with people that we all kind of fall short of.
Yeah. I try to take notes on prayer requests. And then I sit there and I do my email and send out, what's my notes? You know?
He's comfortable praying with somebody right then. Make a point of like, I got to remember this conversation with this person. You know, even when I get back in my car or whatever.
That's what yeah.
Looked up. Yeah. 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 They said, really, that's sort of You want to comfort somebody, but you just don't know why.
This hits home. He says, we like it when others are devoted to us, but we struggle to give ourselves wholly or wholeheartedly to anybody or anything. A lot of truth in that, right? We prefer to keep our options open so there's an often cheap and flimsy. Ouch. Yeah. So unfortunately, many of us give up and depart when the tough gets going, right? Many leave when they find some point of disagreement, when they find demands that we be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That requires we determine to stick with each other through thick and thin, work it out, our differences, overcome the heal from the hurt and wounds that occur. So I believe that we have made the decision, energy for devoted brotherly love. I think there's a lot of truth in it, right? So the third thing, finally, with the right decision, right determination, then it becomes demonstration. So if we make that commitment and we can do it, then we got to see in countless practical demonstrations. Right. Actually, many of the other one another commands are actions of devotion. Pray for one another, honor one another, serve one another. And he goes on to say this. He says, but when I think of the demonstration of devotion to one another, I think of a commitment towards each other that includes things like this, being present. And he said, I hope that all of us will decide to be determined to demonstrate our devoted brotherly love in relationships with that. So it's interesting. One of the things that you see in a lot of managerial programs, and I actually had a guy that said, when somebody comes to work for you, you should take notes. How many kids they have? What's their wife's?
It does it just on people that he meets, you know?
Everybody. And he knows everybody.
But so now then, think about that just to, and they ask you, how's your daughter doing, or how's your son doing, or how's your dog doing? Whatever that situation is, it gives a little bit more personal, what the right word is.
Connection or name. And I was impressed. And I asked her, she said, I'm at the point to memorize at least 12 customers. And to this day, she said, how's your daughter doing? Beforehand, lived at home 10 years. And we tried to keep her.
Where I worked in credit for so many years in collection. And I excelled really well in collection. That was one of my things. And one of the things was on me, personal. Mm-hmm. And so when I would make that first contact, you know, how's your husband? How's the new baby? How's your grand? And I got money that they had that personal connection and they wanted to make me happy. And that was my key to success.
We're going to get some money.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I literally nicked. And I never had one not pay me. That one, you know, I had that relationship.
I was looking on Facebook the other day, and was one of the things come up, and this guy said, I gave my wife a list of friends that said, when I die, I said, after the funeral, I want her to go back home, get my phone, text, thanks for coming. You definitely see who's your friend on that one. So when you think about that, and you think about being connected to one another, that's one of the ways of connected, and that I think means a lot from one person to another. And when I say this from my Christian family, but you see this, you don't have to be a Christian to be this way, but I think it's more of a personal note. When you don't forget to not only be involved with what people do, but be devoted or be conscious of it. Not just to mention it, right? I mean, it's if you happen with you when you know with your vacation last week, you can have these questions, but there's ways that you can relate to people on a much deeper scale, right? And I think that's some of the things that we need to look for as we're the things that people struggle with. Not just because you've got two kids and two sons and two daughters or whatever, but the things that you truly struggle with.
Hey, that will help you out on the winter.
Let's start wrap this up. All right? If we're going to develop real Christian experience community, then we got to grow in this devotion to one another. Some of us it's going to be easier than others. So this guy asked his church this question. I call it to express emotions towards others. Do you find it hard to be in a relationship with those outside your immediate family? I'm looking. You're shaking your head. No, I don't either. Some people do.
But we're not as bold.
Well, what's the two different personalities? Yeah. So if you're an extrovert, you think it's pretty easy to do? You know, some that's a shocker. You read that somewhere, didn't you? But you know, there's different people and different personalities and different ways that people make. It's not always coming and putting your arm around them and talking about their kids and their aunts and their uncles, right? Says you might want to try to understand why this is especially a struggle. You can ask God to help you with these things. That's interesting, isn't it? So if you're trying to be devoted to a church family and you're having problems with it, do you just shut down and not do it, or do you ask God to help you? Talking with somebody, is it? It's not always that face-to-face sometimes. Cards, text, emails. There's a lot of different ways to communicate, right? So some people will struggle with poor family relationships, and they let it go across. Wherever these struggles started, they often become oppressive and cause us to think mainly about ourselves and leaving us unable to think. Speaking, relationships can be messy, whether it be in the family or outside the family. And he said,
when you're saying family, are you talking about our family or are you talking about
Thank you for asking that. I was waiting to see if somebody would ask that. Does it matter? Does it matter?
Your question is, does it matter if it's our immediate family or our
church family? It probably should, but it doesn't.
I mean, I think that from a personal family, it's easier to be emotionally involved with them, sometimes good, sometimes bad,
there's
right?
A higher level of accountability and responsibility with your family member, too. Yeah. And then I think, too, you go a step further in prayer, like our Sunday school class is close. I'm not sure you have close relationships. Oh, yeah. And then there's that person that you don't really ever talk to. And I mean, one of the reasons that Mike and I left where we were members all my life was it got to where in Sunday school, we would come in and everybody else in Sunday school class, except maybe one the night before, and went out to eat. And so they would come in. It was very small. But it would be like they'd all be weren't included.
But in the clique.
And I mean, but I was a member of that church my entire life. And so it just got to where I just felt.
You know how you think in your entire life?
I think a few years older. But still, just knowing that you come into a class and talking about something.
And you know what, like, I think it's important to think those type of things are important. I mean, trying to get together, and we should get together when we do, right?
We talked about getting together.
We couldn't make it.
Last year, we didn't ever do it.
Yeah.
You don't write it on the calendar, you don't do it. I think
together we might do so much.
All right. Hear what Reed said. Everybody write down Macy. And you don't have to be a gun owner and shoot to come. Right? You can be up there and not even things are amazing. So
are we doing something
for I'm not going if we're not, but no, all right, so let's wrap this up real quick, everybody. Let's bring everybody back. So let's kind of wrap this up. All right. So the first off, you know, we talked about the thing. We got to be attentive, watch, and listen. That's the things I was talking about. If we're wanting to be involved, prayer list and understanding and reading prayer list and praying for people and what they're saying, what they're not saying, how they're acting, anticipation, it goes on. He says, and then we come to the hard part. Then we act on what we hear, that card, that text, that call, that just the little things that go on to help people talk on Thursday. And I don't think there was not a word being said for 5 minutes the whole time, and I couldn't tell you a single thing we talked about. So it was just some great fellowship time. You know, it's hard to understand sometimes. Share your words, share your stories, share your experiences. So we try to get started in being devoted to one another. Here's the things that we've just talked about: being be present, be attentive, and be expressing. And ultimately, being devoted to fellowship is.
Well, I think you like. You know, we're in there with 300 people sometimes, 300 people